Welcome to Nocturnal Journal. Thanks, Ro. That's a little tribute to the late Dr. John, who passed away this week at age 77 in New Orleans. I read he was living on Lake Pontchartrain. So thanks, Ro. That should be the name of our show, Right Place, Wrong Time. So we got a nice show tonight. In the 10 o'clock hour, we have live rock and roll from Ethel Schenck live in our studio. They've got a full band tonight, so that'll be worth checking out. 9:30 to 10, we're going to talk to Larry Marion, director of the Bob Bunus Archive, and we're going to get a deep dig into the Rolling Stones at Chess, an exhibit that opened up this week at the Blues Heaven Foundation at 2120 South Michigan, the old Chess Studios. And leading off the show is our dear friend Emmett Broderick of the King County Cougars. We were just talking. We've known each other for at least 20 years. Yeah. Disclaimer, I do a little baseball column for you. Yes, I've done. It's just a labor of love. Yes, I just love doing it. It's a sense of loyalty. Yeah. And I want to set some light on the Cougars. I want to set this up. I want you to talk about what the Cougars are about. But I remember when I covered the press conference when the Cougars were announced, and people talked about, right now I think the Chicago area is a mecca for minor league baseball, but back when the Cougars started, there was nothing around, and people said, hey, this isn't going to work,
yeah.
Minor league baseball. So talk about a little bit of the history of the Cougars.
Oh, my gosh. They come from Wausau, Wisconsin. We started here in 91, and I started with the team in 99.
And what was your role when you started?
Graphic design.
Okay.
and marketing.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was just when we started getting into the internet and things like that. There was no, you know, podcasts or anything like that. But, you know, we've had some, you know, a lot of good players come through this organization. So,
well, yeah, let's talk about the affiliates. So yeah. We were just doing this in the green room, but I know Baltimore was the first one.
Yeah.
Then was Florida next?
Florida, yep, and then Oakland, and then Kansas City, and then it was the Cubs.
The Cubs.
Now it's Arizona.
Now it's Arizona.
Correct.
And I do want to throw out some names of the people that came through, but to tell the listeners who may not be familiar how an affiliate works.
Oh, well, we go into a contract, a player development contract, with a Major League Baseball team. We're the only affiliated baseball within the Chicago area.
Yeah.
I kind of look at it as like baseball college. You know, we're at the single A level, but you can go to obviously double A and triple A, and then, you know, on your way to the majors. So, but the contract, they can sign a minimum 2-year contract. Some teams will sign 4 and 6, depending on how the business is. And that's what it is, really. It's the business of baseball. And you have to gel really well with the team. You know, you have to, with the front office and with the grounds crew and everybody involved with putting this product on the field, you really have to be, you know, in sync with them and cooperate. Give and take, all that stuff. It's a really big business.
You know, when people, you're in the Midwest League, and people, yes, think about teams in Cedar Rapids and Burlington, Iowa, and, well, West Michigan's kind of a suburb of Grand Rapids. But what does it mean to be so close to Chicago? Do affiliates look at that?
The Cubs did.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was, you know, South Bend is close, if not closer, but, you know, again, it's how the teams like one another. It was nice that they thought that we were within 35 miles of here, and if they wanted to come down and take a look at players, we were a good spot for rehab starts.
Mm-hmm.
For the major league team. We had a couple. It seems that like a lot of teams are starting to put their affiliates within a distance that they can get to very easily these days. It seems that's what's going on.
Off the top of my head, these are some of the players people would know that have come through King County. Josh Beckett,
yeah.
Javi Baez,
yeah.
Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about Rick Renteria, as long as we're a White Sox. I mean, yeah, Rick was there with the Marlins, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
Talk about Rick.
He was great. Yeah, I was telling you, he was the first Major League Baseball player I ever played catch with.
Yeah.
He was that nice that after the season was over, he, you know, before he left, came down to the field and, you know, played catch with a guy I used to work with and myself, and it was really nice. He knew how to handle this team really well.
It must be, how long have you been over there then?
20 years.
20 years even. What's it like to see these young players, and some get bonuses and some, but they're at a certain stage of humility.
There is
low
a have,
yeah.
have and haves nots.
Yeah.
with that. I remember Miguel Cabrera coming through, couldn't speak a word of English, and skinniest kid in the world, but he had the right attitude. He just wanted to play baseball. He was happy every time he went on the field. Just kind of like Adrian Gonzalez was the same way.
Yeah.
Real, real humble kid. And just, you just knew this kid was going to be a Major League Baseball player. So,
what changes have you seen? I was telling you I went over to Clinton and I was talking to them, and you know they've got a very small facility. It's 19, I think the stadium was built in 1937, but they were talking about even like 5 years ago. You mentioned the reason I asked this question. You were talking about Cabrera and being skinny. They talk about like dietary and dietitians and stuff. That's like a big deal now, and they have to have a big kitchen and stuff like that. What are the changes you've seen in 20 years?
Well, like I mentioned, having I think it would be considered a psychiatric coach.
Yeah.
To see how the players are handling, you know, when players come up from the Latin players come up, it's pretty brave to be able to come up and not know the language or the cultures around here, and they want to make sure that they're handling it okay. Just being able to handle day-to-day things.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
doing laundry
and
just living. So
do all the players talk about the sponsorship program with families in the area? Unless they're like getting big bonuses, I suppose they live on their own. But do players live with families
they
and do they help out and stuff like that?
Yeah, they do. If we have that event every year before the season starts. It's almost kind of like you would liken it to a 5-minute dating game. You know, we'll have all the people who are part of the housing program come in and meet the players and just kind of see how they gel.
So. Okay. We're going to take a break, and then I want to come back and talk about maybe this was destiny for you with your family history in baseball. So don't go away with Emmett Broderick of the King County Cougars on Nocturnal Journal.
The umpire, the umpire, the guy who calls every play. We ain't got no use for the umpire unless he calls them our way.
Hey,
he calls one a strike that just misses my hat, and that's how I know that he's blind as a bat.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Well, you'll only hear The Umpire by Mitch Miller. Did you know that song, Emmett?
I did not.
That's Mitch Miller with a guest appearance by the late, well, they're both with Roy Campanella. And we're playing that because talk about your grandfather, Red. And I think this is all, that's another reason I wanted to have you on the show. This has to be in your blood, baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you, you and I have talked about him, but talk about him, stuff I don't know.
Well, let's see. He was an American League umpire back in the, between 1923 and 1941. Made his way up through the minor leagues as far as umpires are concerned. His first real test in World Series, he was in the 1927 World Series. With Murderers Row and Babe Ruth, and he knew, you know, Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb. My uncle Ban, God rest his soul, he was named after Ban Johnson, who was the American League president at the time.
And was your grandfather from Wisconsin?
No.
He broke in there then.
He did.
Yeah,
he did. He was a pitcher in the early 1900s. Played in Green Bay. Played in the 3I League for a while, and then went off to World War I. He was a grenadier in World War I, so but then he came back. He was wounded in war, and his pitching days were over, so he decided to become an umpire. So,
World Series ump in 27. I've got here 27, 33, 37, and 41.
Correct, yeah.
And it's Red Ormsby, but was his birth name Emmett?
First name was Emmett.
Is that
how I was named after.
That's how you were named.
You bet.
So was this going to happen? I mean, when you were a little kid, were you interested in baseball? I mean,
You know what? Unfortunately, Grandpa passed away a month after I was born. At least he met me, but I don't remember meeting him, obviously. So, we grew up playing baseball. Always, Grandpa's name was in the background everywhere we went. My mother was so proud of him. My mother's so funny. She wanted to play baseball, but Grandpa said, girls don't play baseball. And you could tell that was the time back then.
He must have been something. You sent me this article. I don't know when this Red Ornsby tells anecdotes of his major league career. I don't think you could write like this. I don't know how old this article is.
But the
1930s, because it says balding, but still with a tinge of red to his remaining hair. Yes. Ornsby proved a masterful speaker in the best manner of the late Newt Rockne. So he was a gregarious guy.
After he retired from umpiring, he was a scout for the White Sox for some years. And then after that, he went on the Speakers Bureau and did speaking engagements all over the place. So all over the country, actually. So as far away as Alaska, which is pretty funny. But he would tell stories about Ty Cobb and his days with Babe Ruth and such. So, yeah.
So baseball's in your blood. I want to paint a picture for the readers. And I go to King County Cougars game, and I watch you. Just tell me what an average day is like. You're more than a graphic designer.
Yeah, I mean,
did you do the logos? You've done the logos for the Cougars?
There a lot of the things that around the ballpark are done through myself, uniforms, programs. Obviously, the articles that you submit and everything. So, you get there in the morning, and if we have a game, we're there for the game at night. And so summers are...
Yeah, so when you get there, what do you do? When you get there, you say in the morning, how early do you get there? Like, say it's a night game.
About 9:30, 10 o'clock.
In the morning?
Yes.
For a night game?
Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah, and then, I do my day job. We promote the ball club and the upcoming events and such. And then when the stadium starts coming alive around 4 or 5 o'clock, game day staff comes in, ushers, all the parking attendants and such. So after that, I help out with on-field events as much as I can and get up and down the stairs and anything else that needs to be handled. We had a military appreciation night the other night on June 6th, and I had 8 World War II veterans out on the field, which... they're all 90s, so we had to drive them around from center field and get them out on the field, and it was just amazing. But yeah, those are things that just are part of the day.
Now that I'm thinking about it, you've had some notables. I like a little trivia like this. This isn't on my list of questions. Who was the shortstop where the rock star was related?
Rex Rundgren.
Rex Rundgren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his father was Todd Rundgren.
Did he come to the game?
Oh, all the time.
Todd Rundgren came to a lot of games.
It's funny. Todd got to the point where he did his walk-up music.
Oh, really?
He went into a studio somewhere and did a little...
Oh, Rex did, or Todd?
Todd did.
He
recorded...
Well, he played walk-up music for Rex.
Exactly, yeah. And he was there almost every game.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was Gretzky there?
He was.
I want to say I saw Wayne Gretzky there.
One year he was. He didn't last very long.
But did his father come?
Yeah.
I remember that. I was at that game, I think.
I'll tell you.
Wayne Gretzky.
The one time that I thought to myself, I don't want to be one of those kind of people that just, go up and ask for an autograph. But Wayne Gretzky was one of the guys that got me to play hockey, because I grew up playing hockey too. And I missed out because he never came back.
Yeah.
So I missed out on at least just saying hi to him, So, oh well.
I've got a story. I don't like to talk about myself on the show, but since you're here, a couple summers ago I went to Montreal.
Yeah.
And I rented a car and went to see the Can-Am League.
Oh, yeah.
And Gretzky's son was playing there.
Yes.
The Can-Am League. That's really they played in an old stadium and stuff. And Wayne Gretzky was there for that game.
Yeah.
And I forgot Gretzky's son's name, but he had a home run in that game. So,
I can't remember his name either.
Yeah. So talk about some of the... events you've got coming up, and I really want to. I'm going to be there Thursday night as Anchorman night.
Right.
So talk about Anchorman night.
Well, we've got we're giving away a bobblehead that night, a rod, a burgundy bobblehead that night. So that'll be an interesting crowd that will come through there.
Are you going to have any Anchorman throw out the first pitch or anything?
No,
Bill Curtis must be busy.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can get you out there. Yeah. We know you can make it to the plate.
Yeah, right. I've done it. Yeah.
You've done that once before.
Yeah.
So
that's Anchorman night.
Yep. We have Ninja Turtles night. As a matter of fact, this weekend is going to be pretty pretty busy. Ninja Turtles night on Friday, and then Carnival night on Saturday. With our first concert is going to be American English.
Okay.
So, yeah, that'll be fun.
And it's in Geneva. Give us a website and how people can find out more.
kccougars.com. The phone number is 630-232-8811. I almost gave you my cell phone number, which was funny. But yeah, we're home starting Tuesday and going through the end of the week.
It's just beautiful. Over the years, I've sent people out. I mean, both Geneva and St. Charles are great towns to hang out in.
Yeah.
And
I've
sent my friends from the city. If you can pick a weekend on the first weekend of the year, then you can parlay a King County Cougar game with the King County Flea Market.
Yeah. And
it's really a great escape from the Chicago area. You mentioned the armed forces. I want to talk about in a little bit of the time we have left.
Okay.
You're so busy with the ballpark, but then you find all this time to volunteer. And I don't know if that also comes from your grandfather, but the Lone Survivor Foundation, Navy SEALs Fund. Talk about your commitment to the armed forces.
Well, we've... At the ballpark, we have the hometown hero, where we honor someone most games that we can get somebody to come out and I've met some historic people, and that made an impact on me. So I started kind of doing some research and trying to figure out a way that I can give back in a way that I know that I can do it the best I know how. So that being graphic design and art. So I would contact some of these places and say, look, I'm offering you my services as a graphic designer. And I'm not asking for money. I just want to give back. And I've been with the Navy SEALs Fund and the Lone Survivor Foundation, the Chris Kyle Frog Foundation. Mm. And I've got two other ones that I'm working with as well. Just offering... You know, marketing designs, when they have events, special events, brochures, and things that help them make aware to people, to veterans and first responders, that they're there for them to help. So I'll put together all kinds of things for them. So
that's so great for you.
It's been great.
I told you it was going to run fast. We'll have to bring you back and talk about Disney. We'll do a Disney round.
Yeah.
But one more thing and then we'll let you run. Sure. Talk about the All-Star game. You're affiliated with the Diamondbacks this year.
Yep.
So who are the two of the All-Stars? I don't know the Don Money connection.
You're right. Buddy Kennedy is the grandson of Don Money. And then we've got a kid named Alec Thomas who went to school at Mount Carmel.
Yeah, I've seen him play.
So yeah, they're two of our Midwest League All-Stars this year.
Well, thanks so much for coming down on a busy, busy Saturday night. And I'll be there Thursday for Anchorman night.
Yes.
I'll be there nice and early.
Thanks, my friend.
Okay. Thanks, Emmett Broderick of the Kane County Cougars. One more time, the website?
kccougars.com.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And we're going to be back and talk about the Rolling Stones after this on WGN.